This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio. It got four baseball games today. Yesterday, a little anticlimactic. I mean, we were talking yesterday about how the Dodgers-Cardinals one-game wild card was as good as baseball could give you. Dramatic, great defensive plays, guys getting out of pitching jams. And yesterday didn't really live up to that. Both games kind of got away from the losing team. The Red Sox were shut out by the Rays at Tropicana Field. White Sox never really in the game against the Astros. But nevertheless, there'll be four games on the slate today as the NL and ALDSs get rocking and roll. Yesterday, the LA Rams beat the Seahawks in Seattle. Seahawks lost more than just a game. They lose Russell Wilson in the game to a dislocated finger on his throwing hand. And boy, that looked really, really hurtful. They were kind of messing around with it to try to get it back in place and whatnot. But anyway, Geno Smith came into the game. He had a touchdown drive. Seahawks had a chance with the ball. Smith throws an interception. And now they're 2-3. Which, look, if you're 2-3 in other divisions, it sort of, you know, you go, all right, we can recover from this. And I'm not saying this was a must win or this is a real problem for Seattle. But, you know, remember, this is the toughest division in the NFL, and the Rams are 4-1. The Cardinals are 4-0. You know, the 49ers are a good team. There is, if you're the Seattle Seahawks and you've lost Russell Wilson and you may lose him next weekend's game against the Steelers, You can't fall too far back. Now, luckily, they're playing the Steelers, who have their own quarterback problems. So maybe Geno Smith won't be an issue for them. I thought Geno Smith played really well. But time and time again, we've seen guys come in to replace an injured quarterback, do pretty good. And then when they're the starter, you realize, oh, this is why you're the backup in the first place. Oh, I get it. And that could happen here. All right, we're going to go over the game from last night, talk about the playoff baseball games as well, and talk about the teams that are in these divisional series and which one has the better chance of claiming it all. We'll continue that. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, glad you could be with us here on a Friday, getting ready for the weekend. All right, Thursday night football last night. Rams bouncing back after that loss to Arizona. Looked sharp as they beat the Seattle Seahawks 26-17. Matt Stafford, man, he's really clicking on this Sean McVay offense, isn't he? 265, a touchdown. He did throw a pick. Darrell Henderson and Sonny Michel running the ball. Man, they got guys all over the place. They got Cooper Kupp, of course. Robert Woods got a majority of the catches last night. DeSean Jackson even got a catch. They got Van Jefferson. They got a lot of weapons on that Rams team.
It's like a resurrection.
It really is, man. It really is. Seattle, though, as I mentioned earlier, they lost Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson has never missed a start in his NFL career. So, luckily for him, he's got like this mini bye week until they play again on the 17th against the Steelers. And Pete Carroll said he's the best healer he's ever seen. Like, you know, he just heals from injuries. He reminds me of Cal Ripken. Remember they used to say that about Cal Ripken all the time? All the time. Like, Cal Ripken would be like, oh, man, he's got a dislocated ankle. And then the next day, he's like, well, there he is, back at shortstop. How did that happen? And they're like, it wasn't as bad as we initially thought. That's Russell Wilson, except he's got, like, about 9 days to figure out.
He'll be fine. He'll be fully healed.
Yeah, he'll be all good to go. He'll be good to go. So they'll play, and they're playing the Steelers, too. So, you know, just get out there, Russell. You'll be fine. You don't need to grip the ball against the Steelers. Oh, that was a disgusting injury, though. They kept showing that finger. It's all
over
bent.
Over and over and over.
It's, you know what's crazy to me? This is like, even if the good Lord blessed me with athletic ability to be a professional athlete, if he just said, I'm going to take you as you are, but I'm going to gift you with athletic ability, I couldn't be a professional athlete, because if I dislocate my finger, Ron, I'm done for a long time.
Yeah.
They're not snapping that thing in and making me go back out there. I'm like, nah, I'm out. I'm out. They're like, well, we can snap. No, you're not going to snap it. I'm not going back out there to snap that in. They tried to snap it back. They wanted him to go back out there, and he couldn't wait to get back out there. They had to go, no, you got to have a different mindset with those kind of things. I hear this with these athletes all the time. They suffer these leg injuries. Jackie Lundberg famously played the Super Bowl on a broken leg. I remember asking him about that during Super Bowl week. These guys have a different mindset when it comes to pain and injuries. And that looked really painful. Now, maybe it looked more painful than it actually was. But they told him, like, man, you can't grip the ball. He went out there and tried to throw it. He couldn't throw it. So Geno Smith came in. And God bless Geno Smith, man. He was great until that last interception of the game. I mean, 98-yard touchdown drive. He threw the ball well. That one throw where the Seahawks were down 6, had a chance to get back into the game, and he throws it away with a pick.
And really, I don't even think that was totally his fault. Now, no. Full disclosure, I had no idea Geno Smith was still in the league.
I really didn't either. And a lot of it is because you don't hear about whoever the backup quarterback for the Seahawks is. They never get to see playing time. He might get mop-up duty every now and then, but you never see them.
The problem I had is that I had walked away from the TV, and then I came back, and all of a sudden I just looked, and I'm like, well, that's not Russell.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out who it was. Because I missed, they always put that little bar down there and say Geno Smith, or they talk about Geno Smith and they mention their name. And I'm just watching this guy sling it all over the place. I'm like, God, whoever this kid's great.
Yeah, he threw a night to DJ Metcalf's touchdown. He threw in the corner. That was a beautiful throw.
Great touch.
Beautiful throw.
But
so
all the other throws before that, I mean, I think, wasn't he like 6 for 6?
At one point, yeah.
Before he threw his.
Like, he finished 10 of 17 for 131, which in relief duty is pretty good. And again, yeah, the interception that kind of sealed the win for the Rams, I should say. And the Seahawks now dropped to 2-3. But really, 0-2 at home. Remember when the Seahawks would never, ever lose at home? Now, I know we're talking about a different Seahawks team that had the Legion of Boom. But man, that place, they were always winning at home. And now they're 0-2 at home.
And they were loud.
Oh, man, they're always loud. That's crazy.
I mean,
that was
the thing. It's like, in a dome, you expect it, but in an outdoor stadium, you've seen the other team go to a silent count because it's so loud. That's, I'm just kind of missing that.
I'm trying to think about this. I know Autzen Stadium, where Oregon plays, it's engineered, it's acoustically designed to trap in the noise. So you don't need like 100,000 people there to be really, really loud. It's the way the noise just kind of stays within the stadium. And I think Seattle Stadium is built the same way, where you don't need 120,000 people to make it. They've got it so that the noise stays within the stadium. It's why it's one of the loudest places to play in the National Football League. By the way, if you're building a stadium, especially an outdoor stadium, whoever came up with that, use it. Put it part of your architectural plans to build a stadium where the noise traps in.
Yeah.
Because they talk about Michigan, for example. Michigan's like a wide contact lens with like the Ann Arbor. And so the noise kind of goes up. So you can have 110,000 people there. And while it's loud, it doesn't contain the noise. It doesn't bring the noise in. That's why Seattle is just deafening at times, where there's, they got like the decibel level. It sounds like an airplane taking off, that kind of thing. But the Rams may be one of those teams when you look back on the first like half of the season, you might go, yeah, that loss against the Cardinals was just a bad day. Yeah, because they looked pretty good last night. They bounced back nicely in a short week going to Seattle and beat Seattle. Because after they lost to the Cardinals, it was like, well, okay, now they got a short week to go play the Seahawks, another tough divisional game, tough place to play. You got to bounce back from this mess. And they did just fine. They did absolutely fine. Second half, they really kind of really found their rhythm. So the Rams now go to 4-1. And again, the Seahawks, it's not the end of the world at 2-3, but don't play around here. This is a tough division. Don't mess around.
Well, I mean, it's that
division, too. I mean, you could be 2-3 in the NFC East, and people are still like, oh, you're going to win it. Don't worry about it.
The other thing that goes in the Seahawks' favor, and you and I talk about this all the time, is the three wild card teams that are now coming to the you know, both conferences. So Seattle, they, you know, if Russell Wilson gets healthy and they start playing well and they have a winning record, they still will be in the running against the other teams in the NFC that are, you know, not going to win 14 games this year, right? So they still should be in the mix for a wild card berth. But yeah, don't play around. Arizona's really good, and LA, the Rams are fantastic. They looked great last night. The Major League Baseball playoffs, I flipped back and forth between this game and the Red Sox-Rays until I realized the Rays were up like 4-0 at one point, and the Red Sox couldn't hit a thing. So I was like, all right, I don't really have to pay attention to this, I guess.
I was doing the same thing, and I was bummed.
You wanted to see a little bit of a...
No, I wanted to... Well, you always want drama. But I was bummed because then all of a sudden I was seeing Twitter blowing up about, and I know I'm going to butcher his name, Randy Arozarena? The steal of home?
He stole home, and I would have never guessed this. Apparently, he's the first ball player to steal home in the playoffs since Jackie Robinson in 1955 for the Brooklyn Dodgers. That can't possibly be correct, right?
Nah, I thought I saw something like Javi Baez did it.
Did he? I hope so.
In 2016.
Maybe. Well, he became the first major league player to steal home and hit a home run in a game.
Yeah, so that was a one-man band.
Yeah. So
that was fantastic. But I was bummed. I was like, oh, you know, I kept watching the football game. And then, you know, then I would see that, oh, something cool happened. But, God, I mean, the Rays just, I mean, they're too good of a team.
They're really good. And
for really having no one.
And this is really amazing. Let's go back to the Rays here. The Rays lost Blake Snell, Charlie Morton, and Tyler Glasnow. Some key pitchers.
Yeah.
They're all gone. And now you have a guy who pitched last night, Shane McClanahan.
Yeah.
Who I've never heard of until this season.
I mean, you know, he's a... I wish I had something fun to say about him.
Yeah.
I
had Drew Rasmussen.
Of course,
Shane Baz. Who are these guys?
You don't know the Baz?
Right? And Wander Franco, a highly touted prospect who's coming up to the majors and doing good things, had an RBI last night. Like, this is a team that... Again, you wouldn't know these guys if they hit you on the head in their uniform and are going to cruise in this series. They're going to beat Boston easily. I'm telling you right now. They're going to beat Boston easily. And I'll tell you why, too. I don't mean this with any disrespect to the Red Sox. And the Red Sox are built really well. Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, you know. I think the Red Sox are coming in anyway struggling, right? J.D. Martinez is hurt and all that. But the reality of it is, they won their playoff game beating the Yankees, right? They won their playoff game beating the Yankees. And this Rays team is just too good to beat them three times. They're going to beat them three times in four games now. I just do not see this happening. Now, if the Red Sox had won game one last night, I'd be going, hey, they might be able to win this. I don't think the Red Sox can beat this team three times in four games. That's the danger of a best-of-five series. You better get that first one under your hat because it's going to be a stretch to win the rest of the way. And I just don't think the Red Sox are going to do it. And once again, the Rays just they should win the American League, although I think the White Sox and the Astros are both really good teams. I just think the Rays don't have any holes. All right, we'll talk more about the Major League Baseball playoffs, including the Dodgers and the Giants will get underway tonight. And the Atlanta Braves, who hit a ton of home runs, will go up against one of the best pitching units in Major League Baseball. It's all coming up on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Speaking of cars, my daughter's going for her driver's license test today. I'm a little nervous for her.
Yeah, yep. I would. Are you nervous that because she really wants to get it, or are you just nervous putting her on the road?
Yeah, I'm nervous about putting her on the road.
Are you nervous for the pedestrians out there as well?
She's a pretty good driver, but you know, when your kid gets a driver's license and you're not with them and they're on their own, you get nervous, you get worried, yeah. You get scared. You know, it's just a kind of a parental thing.
She'll be doing donuts in the parking lot soon.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, I'm sorry, Wednesday night, we decided to go grab a bite to eat. And we let her drive, and I sat in the back, and I was like, all right, I'll sit in the back seat. And so I sat in the back seat, and I kept my mouth shut, and she was going, she made a left-hand turn, and we were driving into the little, it wasn't really a restaurant, more like a food stand. And she said, I said, not to be a backseat driver, but you went a little too fast in that corner. And she was like, oh, and my wife jumps in and goes, yeah, you did. I go, well, you know, just me saying. I said, you kind of took that a little too much. So, I think she'll be fine. It's just, I did it with my son too, you know, it's just like, but you know, it's different with girls, I guess. I feel a little nervous. So it's not that they're bad drivers or anything. It's just, I tell my kids all the time. I'm like, I tell my son, I'm going to treat your sister differently than you. I kind of grew with both of them were growing up. I had a son that I was harder on because I wanted to make him a better man. And then I had a daughter who just walked all over me her whole life, like constantly, just never stopped walking all over me. So it wasn't equal raising of both. So it was really, I let my wife kind of handle the disciplinary stuff with my daughter because she just walked all over me forever. She probably will until I die. So I probably just will admit that.
Yep.
So I hope she goes on to.
Well, just don't let her know.
You know, the good news is I don't have to pick her up from school in the afternoon now, which I'm just too lazy to do. Like, you know why? It's not that the school is far. It's that after school traffic. I hate it.
Yeah.
I get off, like the school is just off this kind of turnpike, and I get off the turnpike and I just see the cars backed up and I go, oh God, every day I got to sit through this. I got to drive into the school, pick her up. It's on a main road, but then there's another side road where the parents are picking up the kids. Now I don't have to deal with that. So just drive home every day.
Yeah, that's what I go through every day right now. But fortunately, so I don't have to pick up the older boy because he takes the bus home. But for my middle son, I'll pick him up. But he's doing a thing called safety patrol where he gets to – it's only for like the upper class grades. He's in fifth grade, so he's moving on to junior high next year. So they all get to help open car doors to help speed along the line.
Oh, does it work?
I guess. I don't know. Or just gives them some responsibility, makes them feel proud.
Have you noticed it's like, oh, it's so much faster that safety patrol is opening up car doors for people?
No, because I don't have to wait in line. I show up after his job is done.
Oh, see, that's good. Now that's good.
And yeah, so when I show up, it's like me and, you know, maybe 10 other cars. That's it.
I remember last year I would tell her, hey, what time do you need to be picked up? She goes, 3. I go, how about 3:10?
Yeah.
Do you have like 10 minutes that you could just do nothing? She goes, yeah. I'd get there at 3:10. It was like 80% clear. I'm like, I'm just going to do this from now on.
Oh, easily, right?
So anyway, 4 games in Major League Baseball today. This is where it gets good if you're a baseball fan. This is where you get a buffet, a smorgasbord of baseball. 4 games starting in the afternoon, going all the way into the late evening when the Dodgers and Giants meet up. And look, I've kind of gone over, you know, these teams, and it's been fascinating to sort of look at analytics, not really like statistical, but analytics to see where some of these teams are. And, you know, the Giants-Dodgers matchup, and I hate to say this, I really do. It is almost unfair that these two teams have to play in a best-of-5 series.
Yeah.
They are far and away better than the Braves or the Brewers. Now, I know the Brewers have a phenomenal pitching staff. Corbin Burnes should win the Cy Young. Brandon Woodruff is great. Peralta is great. But it is unfair that these two teams are going to give us at most five games against each other. This could have been a classic National League Championship Series. It is a real shame. And I know there's a dangerous precedent by reseeding and all of that. If you're a wild card team, and even if you had a good record, you're still a wild card team. Sorry, you have to play the best team, even if it's a team in your division, even if you have more wins than the two other divisional winners. You want to respect the divisional races. Those are important. That's what fans focus on all season. You don't want to give them an extra layer on top of that. Like, we're going to win our division, but we have to play a wild card game or something like that. No, you want to just win the division and then let the chips fall where they may after that. But to me, I look at Milwaukee. Now, again, none of these teams are terrible. None of them don't deserve to be in the playoffs. I'm not making any outlandish claim like that. But Atlanta has got a lot of flaws. They're a home run hitting team, which doesn't always work in October. Their pitching is pretty good, but it isn't fantastic. Milwaukee is fantastic. They just don't score a ton of runs. Now, both of these teams have got some issues, right? But one of them will be in a best of seven series to go to the World Series. One of these teams is a series win away from capturing the National League pennant. And the Dodgers and the Giants, one of those teams is going to be eliminated before they get to the next round. Whoever loses out of this series, and I know for you, you hope it's San Francisco, it's going to be a big chunk that is going to be taken away from the National League picture. And I just feel like it kind of feels unfair, but it's something where I don't know what the fair thing is, because I'm not comfortable with reseeding wild card teams and treating them as if they won a division. They didn't. It's too bad they didn't. That's where the chips fall. You play a lot of teams in your own division. You're supposed to take care of that. And the Dodgers came up one game short, so they get the Giants. But San Francisco and Los Angeles are as equal as you can get. I mean, they're almost statistically equal, how crazy these teams are. And I think it's going to be epic and classic. I hope people stay up to watch it, because it is going to get late. These games are going to be rolling on and rolling on. I hope people will stay and catch it, because I think it's great. I think it's be fantastic. But if you go to the American League, you could almost make the same case between the White Sox and the Astros. Both of those teams are fantastic. There's very few flaws in the Astros and Chicago. And one of those teams is going to be dismissed. Now, I think the Rays, because as I said earlier, I think the Rays are going to make quick work of the Red Sox. I really do. I think they're going to make quick work of the Red Sox. And the Rays are the best team in the American League. I think I saw somewhere Baseball Prospectus has them winning the World Series based on a whole bunch of statistics. I don't know if that's true. I think whoever comes out of the Giants-Dodgers series is probably, in my opinion, is a favorite to win the World Series. I don't care about super-duper war on top of average, on top of, you know,
and this isn't like
slugging percentage statistics.
And this isn't like football where you can say, oh, but they, you know, they could beat each other up in a five-game series. You know,
right.
It's not like that.
Right. I just don't. The Rays use starting pitching in the most least important way you can. I mean, they have starters. Sometimes they go to the pen early. They've got a lot of guys that can do great things on the mound, but they don't hang with the guy for like eight innings, seven innings. I mean, they don't have that one guy that does that, and they may not need to. But their lineup is potent, man. It's potent, and they're really, just built really well.
And it just, I mean, it's like they're taking Moneyball and putting it on steroids.
I know. It's crazy.
They're scouting. They've got to have the best scouts in all of baseball or in professional sport.
To me, I think that's probably it, right? Is that they have a tremendously talented team with a lot of guys that aren't mega stars, right? They don't have mega stars. Wander Franco could be that. Randy Arozarena is on his way to that. Now, they did pick up Nelson Cruz at the trade deadline. We remember
him.
That's an
old
Nelson
Cruz.
But that's he's done all right since he got there. But they're one of the top hitting teams in baseball. They know how to get on base. I just to me, I think Boston is dead in the water right now after losing game one, especially getting shut out. It's a wake-up call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. All right, so I had to look this up because I remember we talked about Randy Arozarena stealing home. And I had heard it was the first since Jackie Robinson in the 1955 World Series against the Yankees. All right, that's not true. We mentioned Javier Baez stole home in 2016 in a playoff game for the Cubs. But this is the first straight steal of home in a playoff game since Jackie Robinson did it against Yogi Berra and the Yankees in 1955.
So Javi Baez had one of those weird plays where he's credited with a stolen base, but it wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't like what Randy did yesterday where he's kind of walking down the third baseline and then tears off.
And then bolts for it. Yes. Okay. So, you know, baseball is tricky like that sometimes. But that's basically so that Javi clears Baez, up that.
Javi Baez gets the asterisk.
I guess. How would you like to steal home? And they go, well, it wasn't a straight steal. You're like, wait a minute. I stole home. How often do you see that anyway? Please. You never see people steal home. Never. It's one of the more rare feats.
It's a bold move. But, you know, as I was watching, I kept watching the replay over and over again. And I started thinking, it might be easier than it looks. I mean, first of all, you got to go up against a left-handed pitcher.
Right, of course.
Because, you know, you need to have him have his back turned to you. And you need to have blazing speed. But one thing I remember, where I kept noticing, too, and I forgot about this, the pitcher needs to place his foot behind the rubber.
Yeah, you're 100% right. There is a little bit of nuances that you have to catch in order to make it work.
You know, and so that gives you, like, that little half a second. I mean, not even half a second, like a nanosecond of where, you know, at least it'll be a close play at the plate. Because now the pitcher, you looked at the pitcher last night, he got frazzled.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. You know, let me put my foot behind the rubber real quick and let me toss it home. And he's not pitching at home.
Well, isn't this when it occurs, that's what you're trying to do. It's one of the reasons if you're going to get success, it is that moment of rattling the pitcher enough to cause a problem where you just, because it is, you're right. It's a game of fractions of inches when you're talking about this. Like, if he holds on the ball a split second in hesitation, not knowing what he's doing, that gives me two steps. You know, that kind of thing where it's just that feeling. So, yeah, clearing that up now. Randy Arozarena, 1955. Straight steal. And Jackie Robinson did it so much they put it in a song about Jackie Robinson. You know?
And it's literally the most iconic photo of Jackie Robinson.
Right, exactly.
You know, not him just, you know, I mean, everyone has a good photo of him somewhere, but his is, you know, we can all picture, when you hear Jackie Robinson's name, you have that picture of left arms kind of out a little bit, you know, he's dragging that foot behind him and it's just touching the edge of the plate. I mean, you can picture the whole thing. So, I don't know. I mean, that was exciting yesterday.
It was exciting, yeah.
In other words, dull game. And I will say this, too. Tampa, you showed up.
They did. The stadium looked great. It was rocking. The people showed up. It was nice.
Yeah, I won't say the stadium looked great, but...
No, the stadium doesn't look great.
But
maybe it was just early enough for people to have taken a nap and show up to the game.
Yeah.
Good job, St. Petersburg.
I mean, you know what? Maybe this is what they do. Maybe they know, like, the Rays will be in the playoffs. Why waste our time with regular season games?
If I live in that area, my in-laws live in that area. If I'm living in that area, I'd be all about Tampa Bay. Are you kidding me? I would enjoy all of it. I would enjoy the Bucks, the Lightning. I'd travel across the bridge, Howard Franklin, or just get over there to the St. Petersburg and get to the stadium. I'd be all a part of it, right? I mean, I would love it. But, you know, during the regular season, nobody catches baseball fever, and then you catch it. So I would be all about what they're doing there. They're just winning titles. They're just winning. They're going to the postseason and winning championships.
And maybe that's it. Maybe they're just they can't be bothered with regular season stuff. It's like, I would just wake us up when the playoffs start, when the postseason starts for our teams.
Yeah, we're not going to show up during the regular season. God, no. We're not doing that.
Yeah, we don't need to show up for regular season hockey. They're going to be in the playoffs. We don't need
that
to show up.
That bridge ain't no joke.
Yeah, you know, for football games, please.
Yeah.
Brady will have them in the playoffs again. Just call us. Wake us up when it's that time.
I know Michael corrected me one time, but have you ever been to Tampa, St. Petersburg?
I have never been.
Okay, it is the two cities are they're connected by bridges. There's three bridges that go through Tampa Bay. And so, but they're not traditional like suspension bridges where like you see in New York, like the Verrazano Bridge or like in San Francisco, like the Golden Gate. They're like the causeways, I guess it's called. They're like roads that just kind of hover above the water. Like you can see the water splashing on the side of the bridge. It's a little daunting.
Wait, what?
Yeah, all right, picture a suspension bridge like Golden Gate.
Yeah.
Okay.
High above the water.
High above the water. So if your car, you know, like if there's an earthquake and the car falls off the bridge, plummets down into the water.
Yeah.
You go over like the Howard Franklin between Tampa and St. Petersburg. It's like a road, and if you were to go off the road, you'd land right into the water, like immediately.
So it's a low bridge.
Yeah, it's a low bridge, very very low bridge. Now it's got like ups and downs. Like there's a little bit of a hill, like it goes up a little bit,
so
a little
bit above.
But it's not like it's not like that way all the way. And there's three of them. There's the Courtney Campbell, and then there's the Gandhi, and there are three of them that connect the city. So as I've said many, many times, the kind of the adage is people in Tampa don't cross the bridge to go to St. Petersburg. People in St. Pete will go to Tampa. Tampa don't go to St. Pete. You're talking about a city that has two of these two cities in one area, and the baseball team plays in the one area people don't really like to go to. It's not necessarily because it's in a bad part of town or anything. It's just because they don't like crossing the bridge.
Those people.
Yeah, they just go, I'm not going over there.
No need to go over there.
Exactly. People in St. Pete, though, they go see Lightning games all the time. And of course, everybody goes to the Buccaneers game.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, and this is the other point I always make when it comes to that city, is when sportscasters say the Green Bay Packers are going to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. No, you're going to Tampa. You're going to St. Petersburg if you're a baseball team. If you go to Tampa Bay, you're in the water. That's it. There's no Tampa Bay City. There's Tampa or St. Petersburg or Clearwater. That's it. Now, the Tampa Bay area, but people don't say that. They don't say Tampa Bay area. They go, they're heading to Tampa Bay. Well, splash, right, if that's the case. You're either in Tampa or St. Pete. So that's my little pet peeve on broadcasters who get lazy on the geographics of that area. But you're right. They showed up last night and filled Tropicana Field, which is not a great baseball stadium. That catwalk is stupid. Isn't it? How many years are we going to put up with a catwalk? They can't figure that out.
I mean, when is Tampa just going to, you know, rebuild a new stadium?
Well, a couple years ago, a guy had a plan for this in Tampa. He wanted to put it in Ybor City, and the price, and then of course he did the whole, well, we're hoping that public funds will, and then they went rip, rip, rip. I was like, no, we ain't doing that.
I mean, things are so bad there; they're going to split time with Tampa and Montreal.
Yeah, I've been begging them to come to Nashville.
Yeah, we already know Montreal doesn't. I mean, they left Montreal because no fans went there. Yeah, why all of a sudden you think they're going to go back?
Yeah, they're not going back to Montreal.
No,
come on. Yeah, exactly. You had a baseball team.
You couldn't
keep the baseball team, so you lose it.
Now we're going to go back there. We're going to split time.
It is sad. Can you imagine if the Rays win a World Series and then in like 3 or 4 years they move? Like, I can't imagine that. Like, what kind of, like, that would be, you literally could go to Major League Baseball if you were the ownership and go, we have done everything.
And they have. Can.
Like, I know people don't like the stadium, but we're not going to build another one. We have a winning team. We've gone to the World Series 3 times in our history if they go this year. And if they win a title. And yet, on a typical July night, we got 4,000 people here. How we can't do this anymore.
4,000 might be generous,
right?
Too.
You know? Meanwhile, Vince Gill is up here going, come on up to Nashville. Music City's great. you know, or Portland, and you got to stay in the American League. I guess stay in the American League East, so Nashville would be better. But Charlotte, would that be a good place to go for a baseball team?
Probably.
You put a team in Charlotte.
It's good baseball down there, right? I mean,
I think it's fine.
The Durham Bulls pull fans, don't they?
You can do Charlotte's good. So, yeah, Charlotte, Nashville,
Nashville,
I don't care.
Can see that happening.
I could see Nashville because, you know, the one problem I have with living here is I don't have, I'm not accessible to Major League Baseball. Cardinals just too far away. Atlanta's just too far away. There's really nothing, like, I can't, you know, so there's not, so it's perfect because it's not like the Braves can scream and holler like, you're in our market. No, not really. You're 4 hours away. That's a long way to be in somebody's market. And the same thing with the Cardinals. They're about 4 hours away, too. It's just too far of a drive. But and Nashville's got a lot of money. Lots and lots and lots and lots of money. So I think they can I think they could do a stadium on a private funding. I think they can. They got a lot of money in this town. So we'll see. But the Rays should just enjoy where they're at right now. They got the best team in baseball, American League at least. And they should beat Boston. They should be favored. Whoever comes out of that series between the Astros and the White Sox. And both of those teams are really good. But I think the Rays are better than those two teams. And yet, you can't name three players on this squad. That's the way it is. It's amazing. And you know what's funny about that, Ron? Remember the Astros had the same kind of thing a couple of years ago when nobody knew who George Springer was or Jose Altuve? They were homegrown talents, and you know the Astros had lost 100 games, and then all of a sudden they were in the you know winning the World Series, and then those guys became very, very well known. Why aren't we doing that with the Rays? Why is Brandon Lau, for example, still a guy nobody knows about? Why is Mike Zunino is still a guy nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, you're just making up names right now.
Randy Arozarena is not a superstar yet. But yet you know, Astros won the World Series, and all of a sudden everybody knows who you know Carlos Correa is.
But here's the thing: you put Randy Arozarena on any team, like you know, I have a feeling it's only a matter of time before he's on the Yankees.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, take it what you will. I just have that feeling like, you know what, as soon as this rookie deal is done, no one's going to be able to afford him because the guy's a superstar. He is. He's just hiding right now in Tampa. But he'll become like a household name. We'll all know how to say his last name correctly.
You know what I would do if I was Kevin Cash to make the drive the point home?
Take him out in the sixth inning?
No. I would make all of the players in press conferences wear name badges. Hello, my name
is.
I would to drive that point home to the national media when they finally arrive in droves, who never talk about this team, who never even bring them up in conversations. I would have Kevin Cash go, everybody's going to wear a name tag so that when the guy from Fox West is asking you a question, you just can point to that.
Or should they recreate that Major League American Express commercial?
Of course. That would be even funnier.
Hi, we're the Cleveland Indians, a Major League baseball team.
You just nailed it. American Express, we're giving this idea for you for free. Get with the Rays and bring back those old-time do-you-know-who-I-am commercials and star the Rays.
Yep.
Because this is getting ridiculous that this team keeps going to the playoffs. This is the third straight year that they have gone to the postseason. They are the defending American League champs, and America can't name three players on this team.
Not at all. And don't give me Nelson Cruz. That's a gimme.
That's a gimme. You don't get that.
He made his name elsewhere.
Yeah. Manuel Margot, if you know who he is, give yourself 20 points.
Isn't that a whine?
Right. He-Man Choi? If you know him, give yourself 10. There you go. Goodness gracious. All right, it's Tony T. Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage if it's your life, Rocket can. By the way, coming up next hour, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And then Dustin Schulte is going to join us from Saturday Tradition. We're going to talk Big Ten football. There's a huge game Saturday, Penn State and Iowa. They are the number 3 and 4 team in the country. So we'll talk to him about that game. Plus, you know, I don't know if anybody knows this, but like Michigan State's still undefeated and, you know, Ohio State's coming back and Wisconsin is a complete and utter disaster. So we'll talk to him about all those storylines. Eric Edholm, one of our good friends from Yahoo Sports, is going to join us in hour number 3 right off the bat to preview the NFL. And then we're going to get right into our value game. So it's going to be all NFL in hour number 3 today. I can't wait for that. So Eric is basically going to set us up, and then we're going to knock it out of the park by giving our thoughts on the games coming up this weekend.
See, what I was thinking was this also. He might change our mind.
He could.
You know,
he
we
could
had,
do that.
Because we have preconceived notions of which games to watch and not watch, and then he might come up with a little clip or a little thing, and you're going to be like, oh, wait, that game is a lot more interesting.
Yeah, we could go, wow, that's going to be fascinating.
Of course, you know. Challenge him to make Jets Falcons fascinating.
Well, people in London, you better hope that it is. So I know it's good money to go to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium to see football. I'm sorry, American football. At the and we're giving
the
you Jets
skin.
Falcons.
That's what we're calling it. The pigskin
out there. So enjoy. You know what? Wouldn't it be funny if somebody from Britain, Great Britain, tweeted, I didn't know the Jets quarterback was 14. That would be hilarious if they got the same Zach Wilson vibe as we did.
But it's okay. I think he's still allowed in the pubs there.
That's right. That's right. Enjoy Jets, Falcons, England. Hour 2 coming up. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.